Information from the sheriff's office. Sanders is a manager of a business on Central Street in Colorado City, Arizona. From the St. George News Radio Weather Center, partly cloudy and 85 today. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Amar.
Things we trust more than the government. Flint, tap water, Chuck Schumer's tears, and seafood from China. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So happy you are tuning in. And of course, yes, there's breaking news all over the place. And we'll be talking about the shooting that happened today. We'll be talking about that, discussing that in detail in the third hour. So I just wanted to let you know, we are going to talk about that because there's already some strange things going on in Texas. And we're going to explore it, talk about it with Dave, the investigator. We have several guests for you today. And as they were scheduled in already, and they're so important and so many fantastic things that we must discuss today to educate, we're going to go there. And then in the third hour, we'll discuss sort of the headlines and breaking news. You know, I think there was a Boeing 737 that crashed in Cuba. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And we're going to hit a lot in that third hour. So make sure you tune in. And of course, in on the show today, I've got two special guests actually with me. And you'll want to move that microphone a little closer to you, Ron. I've got Mike Eager, and I also have Ron Gibson. And Ron Gibson is a former U.S. Marine, and he works as a professional consultant, counselor at law, private attorney general with over 45 years of experience on the subjects of land patents, mining law, right-of-way, contracts, water rights, and constitutional law. And you were raised in Southern Oregon, and you have a B.A. in engineering and cattle ranching background, which has helped him really to take on and tackle so many of the issues facing us in the West, especially today. And so this is so important because Ron is doing a seminar tomorrow. And if you really want to get educated, you're going to go. It's at 8 in the morning, and it's at the Corporate Alliance Building on South Dixie Drive. And this is going to be important for you to know because Ron is a well-sought-after person on this and really goes into a lot of depth to teach people how to absolutely help themselves, how to secure your property. And so there is no better guest than this. And actually, we booked you quite a while ago because you're hard to get, Ron. And we wanted to make sure and get you on this show so that you could discuss some of these things. And like I said, I know there's been a shooting. We'll do that in the third hour. So we're going to do the show in reverse today. I want to welcome both of you. And of course, we will have Dave join us for the next 2 hours. So he'll be on for the next 2 hours because we have Michael McKibben coming on, who is a scientist who some of you might know, whose patents were stolen by the government. He will be coming on in the next hour, and he is going to be equally just so fascinating and interesting to listen to. But this is an hour where we're really going to absorb some information, and I think this is so important for all of us to sort of take in. And Ron will take your calls, which will be very exciting because I know you have questions on this. This is why, you know, one of the things we've talked about so much on the show, the Bundys were thrown into prison without bail. That's how badly the government wanted to shut them up so that they could basically do a land usurpation. They could go in and take property from somebody. Property rights are at the heart of who we are as Americans. If there is really and truly one of the biggest subjects we could talk about on the show is how to secure your property rights. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you.
You bet. I'm so happy to have you. Make sure that microphone is up and close to your face, Mike. And so let's talk about property rights for just a second. The average person running around in their car right now, listening to you at home right now, is going to say, look, I own a home and I own all these things and I'm good. And what do I need to be worried about? And I think that even if we started at that point, which I think a lot of people think they're pretty secure in their property, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And they're very misinformed.
Very much so.
Very misinformed.
Unfortunately.
I know. And that's, I don't mean to laugh. It's just, we really truly are. So So let's start at property rights, because we are we all have this inalienable right to life, liberty, and the right to property and property ownership and the right to land ownership. And we were talking about this before we came on the and you're such a guru on this. I don't even know where to start, but our right to own property is huge. Would you expand on this? It's our basic inalienable right to own property and have it secure.
That is correct. If I may, Kate, let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
Our right of property ownership is an inalienable right. In other words, it's God-given right. And because it's an inalienable right, there's no lawful means or authority or jurisdiction for the government of any level to come in and to infringe upon that right, other than what we call the police power. Excuse me. And the police power simply means that if you're doing something on your land or with your land that is there's an evidence of a threat to public health, safety, and welfare, then the police power of a state has a right to come in and say, wait a minute, we need to change something here. But other than that, that's a very narrow, narrow band of authority that the government has. And our right to land ownership comes constitutionally. And that's my background. I'm trained in constitutional law. And in that, if you go to Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution, we call it the land disposable, that all the land that was dispersed to the private sector came by what is called a letter patent. We just call them patents, but they're actually the legal definition of as a letter patent because it's a one-page document, and it says that the government now conveys, transfers to the recipient this. And it's interesting, the language of that, and I don't want to get off on technical terms, but it says is hereby granted to the undersigned, to their heirs and assigns forever. That forever clause is never displaced. It's never diminished or anything else. And so what happened in the course of time when you bought a piece of property in the past prior to 1938 to 1948, that the buyer got the whole chain of title.
Okay.
Which, who
this is
owned
prior
it?
To 1948.
That
okay.
is correct.
Okay.
And that's when it was implemented, the Administrative Procedures Act, that changed the jurisdiction from common law to administrative law or corporate law, if you please, because that's all it is.
Okay.
So then what they did is that when you bought a piece of property after that time period and you went to the county recorder to record it to show that you're an owner of record, what the county did at the instruction of the state was to keep that land letters patent, and they then issued what's called a warranty deed.
Okay.
A warranty deed is not a title. It's what we call in law a color of title. And that color of title only acknowledges an equity interest in a given piece of land, and it also gives you a possessory right, but not a title of ownership.
Oh.
That's why the government can have land use restriction. They can regulate setbacks. They can attach property taxes. Private property is not subject to land taxation. In other words, property tax. And I wrote a book on that. And
what's the name of the book?
It's called You're Not a Slave.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be available tomorrow at the Land Patent Seminar, as well as the people that want to come and learn about it. But the thing that I want your listening audience to recognize, everyone recognizes that there's something dreadfully wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we're being pressured
yes.
and pushed and a little bit of this right taken, a little bit of that, and on and on and on. This land patent issue stops that in law. Now, that doesn't mean that the government is going to still try to do
what the government does.
What the government does best, and that's interfere in our rights. But the point being is that there's court cases galore on this. We have over 180 years mm-hmm. of court cases having to do with land patent. But it's the only true title to land in our laws in this nation. So that's kind of a Reader's Digest version of,
yes.
of what the patent is.
Because I saw a meme the other day, and it said, yeah, you own a home. Do you really own it? Do you really own the property? Do you really own your home?
Yeah. And that's a very valid question, because you don't.
You don't.
Not under a warranty deed. But there's a process to bring that back into the land patent. And let me mention too quickly, if I may, land patents are an allodial title. And let me explain.
What's an allodial title?
Very good question. An allodial title, the definition of an allodial title, means owing to no one and in one's own right.
So and this is if you own it free and clear, not from a bank. Okay.
That's correct. Well, that's not the issue. The issue of the legal title.
Oh, okay.
To the bank mortgages, and I could get into a subject of that.
Right.
But it's not applicable here.
Okay.
The allodial title means that you have total control of ownership to do with your land what you desire to do, and no one has the authority to infringe upon
it. What if the city makes a law and says you cannot do this on your property?
That's a constitutional violation under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1.
Boy, I sure hope they're all listening. Yes, you're right. I sure hope the councils are listening, because they do try to do this
all
the time.
And they get away with it because the people, and I say this respectfully, but are ignorant of the law. And boy, folks, get a constitution and read it. It's amazing, that document, what it is. But it's an impairment under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. It's called an impairment of the obligation of contract.
Okay.
Now, let me give you a real quick synopsis here. When the United States government, in and through the General Land Office, that was assigned the responsibility of conveying the lands held in trust, and there's a very severe misconception. The land does not belong to the United States government. They're the trustees of the public land. And the public land means your land, my land, all of the people of this nation. And so we've got into bad habits, say, well, that's government land, et cetera.
Right.
They're trust agents.
They're only holding it.
Exactly.
They don't own it.
They don't own it. But they do have the constitutional authority and mandate of which to dispose of that property.
Have they received this memo? Yes, I'm pretty sure they haven't, because they continually think it's theirs. And it's just because the people aren't there. They don't know.
That is correct. And the people are not standing up. That's what I do. I'm Yaqui Indian. So somebody said, you want to get in a battle, man, I'm ready for it. Just get it on.
I love it.
But I do it in a legal.
Right.
But he doesn't scalp anybody.
Right. And so we have about a minute before we go to a break, a short break. But I think what people probably want to know is, can you truly fight and win?
Yes.
If you know what you're doing.
That's the secret. In most cases, they file any challenge to it in the wrong court.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make the right argument. And that's where my background comes in. I try to help people do that very thing. And
you even went to the Bundys, even helped them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I met with Ryan Bundy, as I shared with you earlier, for 2.5 hours. It was in June, 2 months after the April 14th or April 12th.
A couple
12th,
years back.
But, yeah.
Jeez.
And Ron has really helped me understand the real law concerning mining claims.
Right.
That's another land right that the BLM totally misinterprets.
Yes, and the BLM can actually constrict you from
educational for people.
Even getting to your land. Yeah.
I hope they're listening.
Oh, I hope
this is a great opportunity tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't miss it, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow, 8 a.m. On South Dixie Drive at the Corporate Alliance Building. Ron will be there. And boy, this is such a great tool for learning. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. Back to the Kate Daly Show. So glad to have you listening. And this is such an important hour. We will get to the school shooting. We'll get to many headlines in the third hour of the show. But I want to mention that this is just such a huge topic. And I wish we had several hours with Ron Gibson, who is the expert we've invited in to talk about this. He's doing a seminar. He's actually in town, which is rare. And he's doing a seminar tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning at the Corporate Alliance Building on South Dixie Drive. And if you've ever wanted to know how to protect you and your property, which is really what sets America apart from third world countries. This really, truly is something that everybody needs to know more about. We're totally ignorant. I'm ignorant. Probably you're ignorant in this subject that I'm so glad Ron is here to share with us what he knows. And also, and we're just barely gonna hit the tip of the iceberg. And then, of course, Mike Eager is with me. And of course, he is the owns the patent. And I mean, owns Dynalube. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about mining rights, land rights, and water rights. And I want to know what the difference is. A true title is not a deed, correct?
That is correct.
A true title is not a deed.
That's correct.
Okay. And I people probably are going, I don't even know what I have. But things have changed. It changed in 48. It changed in Nixon's time. Correct?
That's correct.
There have been some big, huge overhaul changes that have, I think, really messed with the definitions of what property is right. And whether it's yours or not. Correct?
That is correct.
What should we have in our possession?
Well, everyone is entitled by their inalienable right to have and to own land.
Inalienable meaning God-given.
That is correct.
Supposed to be government protected.
And that's the obligation of government at all levels, is to protect that. And I want to go back, Kate, for just a moment, if
okay.
I may. And that is, I mentioned Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 of the U.S. Constitution. It covers multiple things, but relative to land and land right ownership, three specific issues that are mentioned in there that are to be protective covenants relative to your land. Number one is that the state and any government cannot implement by legislation. It's called a bill of attainder. And I want to come back to that in just
okay.
a moment. But the second one is, nor can they implement an ex post facto law. That means to go back. When you had a right yesterday and today, they say, now that's illegal and you
right.
can't do that.
Right.
That's protected constitutionally that they cannot do that.
So it doesn't matter what was passed. That is grandfathered in.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
That's a done deal.
And the third one, as I mentioned, is they cannot impair the obligation of contract. When the United States government, in and through the General Land Office, issues a land patent, that issuance there initiates a contract.
Okay.
And that contract, because of the nature of the legal language on the patent, says forever to their heirs and assign, whether you inherit that land or you purchase
it. I can give
land.
It to my kids.
That is correct.
Okay.
And that's protected, all the protective covenants. And you have to remember, to share with your listening audience, land patents are also protected by treaty law. That Article 6, Clause 2
okay.
has to do with treaties. And so when you look at the aspect of a local government trying to regulate you and your land, they violate so many constitutionally
right.
protected deals. They violate treaty law. They violate God's law of a right of landowner. I mean, I could go
right.
on and on.
When the Bundys were fighting for their grazing rights that they had already had that were grandfathered in, this is probably why they were never really served a bill. The government really had no legal standing to serve them a bill. They never were served a bill. I don't know if people realize that.
That's correct.
It's because they had no standing. And the Bundys have every standing because they had grazing rights from years ago. I mean, years and years and years. And so, the government really, I mean, really it's a big bluff when they go to court.
That's correct.
Correct?
That's correct.
Hmm.
The grazing rights mm-hmm. is a property right, just like Mike's mining claims that he has. But not only is it a right, it becomes, because of the nature of what it is, it's a private property. See, what people don't understand is private property cannot be taxed because it's an inalienable right. It's a God-given right. Okay?
Okay.
But real estate can. And real estate and all of the statutes and codes that came into being after the Administrative Procedures Act in 1948, they redefined these different subject matters. And then they said, and there's a maximum law that says it all, said you can only claim jurisdiction over that which you create. So they created you and me,
mm-hmm.
and that is by our straw name with all capital letters. And a lot of people don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But look at your driver's license. Look at
okay.
your checks.
What would
look
I look for?
All capital letters.
Right.
That's a straw man. That's a presumed corporate-owned entity. You're presumed to be owned, you and I. And
okay. So this goes back to 1871 and the big U and the little U in the United States of America and whether it was hijacked or not.
That is correct.
Through a straw man corporation, right?
That is correct.
Okay. And, I did a show on that a long time ago.
And on and in and through that mechanism called the Administrative Procedures Act, they turned everything around, and now they look at you and I on the basis of presumption, not in the basis of law. That's the difference, and it's a huge...
Were they able to hijack that? Because doesn't everything have to go through Congress? That did not go through Congress. None of this has gone through Congress. I mean, isn't that...
Well, Congress passed the Administrative Procedures Act, but they did it unlawfully. See, that's what people don't understand.
Okay.
And we've accepted because they're the government, well, they must be right and it must be legal. Legal and lawful in law are not the same definition. Legal means to circumvent the law of God. Lawful means that it's within the principles of Scripture. So you got this tremendous difference between that. So, most people don't know that. But I want to read something real quickly for you, if I may.
You bet.
This is the definition of a bill of attainder that I mentioned falls under, and you find it in Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. And I'm going to go somewhere with the reason that I want to read your listening audit. A bill of attainder is defined as a legislative act which inflicts, listen to this, punishment without judicial trial, where the legislative body exercises the office of a judge and assumes judicial magistracy and pronounces the guilt upon a party in a way and in forms that are not protected and safeguards by a trial, and then fixes a punishment to it. Isn't that what a tax foreclosure is? Isn't that what a violation of a building code is?
Yes.
That's violation of your God-given rights or constitutional protection.
So you own a piece of property outright, and you still have to pay these taxes. And if you don't, the government can swoop in. If you don't meet that $1,200 tax bill that year, they swoop in and take your property.
And see, that's a violation of Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1.
Can you fight that in court and win?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do this all the time, and I try to train people. That's the purpose of the seminar, to help people to stand up on their own. I can't do it all. I have so many demands on my time. And
well, we had to book you a month ago just to get you on the show. I can't even imagine. I'm glad you're doing a seminar on this tomorrow at 8 a.m. because, my gosh, I mean, I think people have suffered. They have suffered so much because of this, the government just coming and steamrolling over them.
And they will continue to do that unless you put a stop to it.
Does that mean that you could not have to pay that property tax in the future? Does that mean that...
That's right.
Or does that mean that they just can't take your property? I mean, I guess it could all... I mean, you could look at it both ways. But I think people just truly don't know what their right is on that. They just truly don't know what to do.
One of the books that Mike provided for you that I just finished here a few months back is called You're Not a Slave.
Right.
And I spent 48 years of research on the issue of why that the government, the county, the state, the federal cannot tax your private land. They can tax corporate land. They can tax real estate. But they're not in the same jurisdiction. That's
so
why you
to
have
know.
To get your land back into the patent jurisdiction.
So is that hard to do?
No, it's not. And that's what I teach. That's
how
what
to do that. How to get your land into that different definition of deed, right? Patent.
To the patent.
Of patent.
See, the protective covenant of that patent is forever.
Okay. Are judges generally sympathetic to this? Do they understand it themselves?
Because
a lot of
mixed.
Judges...
Okay. If you have a judge that is trying to do the right thing, and they're not all bad, but the ones who are pro... administrative procedures thing that the government has right to do this, then I've had some very in-depth discussions in a courtroom with prosecutors and attorneys and judges over this land.
Instructing
patent.
Them, schooling them.
And
you
I've
would
asked,
have to.
And the thing is interesting. I said, bring your documents and let's sit down to the table and let's see who's
document
right.
Document to document.
No one has ever taken me up on that.
When they rely on precedent, how much does that weigh in court? They can say, well, this precedent was set.
But a president's case is not a lawful means of determining a court case.
Okay.
Because the question that's been proven over and over, what if the first judge was wrong? What if it was pled wrong?
Yeah.
Whatever. Every case is different.
Okay.
Without, I don't care if you're talking about the same subject matter till the cows come home. Every case is different.
So it's another straw man. It's a straw man, really, to say,
yes.
Well, it's a precedent. Don't ask questions. You know, we've ruled on this before.
But,
we're going to rely on that.
But what I do and help people do is that we file a case against him on a basis of what's called a fiduciary breach. Government is instituted for the purpose, the primary purpose, to protect yours and mine, rights and property. Now what we have is an entity that's mandated by law and by our Constitution, both federal and state. Now they've become our enemy. Because now they're trying to take and subdue our rights and our property.
Okay.
So I sue them on the basis of a fiduciary breach. And a fiduciary breach means that the law and their jurisdiction are between this boundary and this boundary. And when they step out of that, now they have exposed themselves without any immunity to suit, to damage suit.
Okay.
And that's how you keep them corralled on the thing.
Ron,
because if, go ahead.
No, you're going to be speaking about this tomorrow at 8 a.m. in great detail. And I'm really hoping people listen. You're from Oregon. You're here in our city. And I'm just hoping people show, because this is show up to learn, because you need to know how to secure this. And we do need to talk about mining rights, too, because something's changed in 71. Correct, Mike?
Yeah. 21 years ago, they created the Red Hills Desert Reserve for a so-called threatened species.
That didn't ever belong here.
The only desert tortoise habitat in Utah, according to the government's own website, is on the backside of the Beaver Dam Mountains on down into Utah, Arizona, Nevada, California, and Mexico. But since there were some tortoises here, they created a 65,000-acre reserve. I tried to get them not to take our mining claims because it's on the very easterly fringe, but they did anyway.
You have some adjacent to this property or on this property?
On the property. So immediately planted about 1,000 tortoises there. Then the mining claims, according to them, come under the designation of an endangered species. You would not believe the regulations in order to have a mining operation. So they fed me all kinds of things that aren't true, and Ron has helped me sort this out. They did a withdrawal of all future mining on the 65,000 acres. And they had 10 professional geologists go over the whole 65,000 acres to identify mineral. And part of that was our mining claims. We have tremendous assays and core drills, and they indicated there's a valuable mineral resource there. So they've locked it up under their regulations, not real law.
Yeah. And under
what I've learned is the mining claim on BLM land actually becomes a land grant. They have to treat it like real property. They haven't done that. They won't do that. I've worked with them for 21 years. And
why does this not surprise me?
And so it's finally come down to a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And the law is on our side, thanks to Ron. And any other mining entities that are out there listening, you need to get acquainted with Mr. Ron Gibson. Because if you have issues with the government trying to overstep their bounds, see, the mining law is created because everything is made out of mineral. And Ron taught me that after the Civil War, the resources of this country were so depleted, the mining laws came into effect, the opportunity to go out and find mineral. That's what the government wanted us to do. Now everything, your desk, your microphone, your shoes, your computer, everything is made out of mineral. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it still needs to be found and protected, and it is protected by the real law, not by the de facto BLM administrative
laws.
We'll
come back and talk about this, and you need to get protected in your property. Make sure you are. Make sure you listen to Ron. We're so lucky to have Ron Gibson in our state right now. He'll be doing a seminar tomorrow, 8 a.m., Corporate Alliance Building on South Dixie Drive. Be there, and we'll be right back. More with Ron and Mike Eager when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show.
This is Eric Todd with Newby Buick GMC. Let me take a minute and share with you just how...
Thank you, Kate. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Yes, it really is fun.
Additive for your oils in your car. Get it in your car to get the life out of your car. 400, 500,000 miles. Yes, it can be done. And protect those metals in your car when your car is working. And also, it can save you a lot of money. Go to Dynalube.com.
Thank you.
You bet. It's
happening. Yeah, great.
Amazing stuff. I'd go on and on, but I want to get to Ron and you and talk about this. We only have Ron for a short time, and it's amazing how the hour flies. Ron, we were just talking. Ron is the expert we have in land. You need to know your property rights. You need to know how to protect yourself, and you need to make sure you listen to Ron. Ron's doing a seminar tomorrow at 8 a.m. at the Corporate Alliance Building on South Dixie Drive. Ron, back up and tell me what you told me on the break, because you have to repeat it. Because we were just, I said to you, how do we protect our property rights? What can we do out there? We were kind of dialing it back to Agenda 21 a little bit.
Well, as I was sharing with you during the break, excuse me, that attorneys have been, and I'm not trying to paint every attorney in a negative light, but the whole legal system, not lawful, but legal system, which includes the attorneys and the judges and all of that, the Bar Association in approximately 1922, 1923, been some years since I read it, but they joined the Communist Party. Right here in America. Yeah. And they don't want people to know that. But you look at the Lawyer's Gold publication, it addresses that this issue in
right,
it.
Right, right.
I mean, now they're more bold about it, open about what it is. But in that, they adopted the 10 Communist Planks, the Communist Manifesto, with two additions that were added to number one. Number one was to do away with private property rights, private property and private property rights. And with that addition, they added two elements that the Bar Association signed on to. And that's to divest the American people of their rights and their property so that they no longer are ownership. And that's what this land patent issue is about. And so if you ever wondered why or asked the question, why is it that 4 years of college for an attorney then that justifies them to charge $250, $350? How many people do you know here in St. George that makes $250 or $350?
Right.
That's part of that agreement, is to raise the price to deplete the people of their ability to defend it, and then they sell you out. Now, again, that's not all attorneys. I'm not painting everybody the same brush. But I deal with them on a daily basis. I know what they're going to do. I know how they're going to do it. And I help people to protect it. And I do reference law references having to do with to protect their rights.
And you must have a patent on that land.
That is correct, because there's no other protection
you
for your land other than a land patent.
Okay.
A warranty deed won't do it. And there's no other lawful document that does what the land, and our forefathers were heavenly inspired to put this kind of program together, because they knew or suspected what was going to come down the pike. And government being government, the fulfillment of that, you and I are seeing today. And so I just want to encourage all of you listening audience, please try to come to this tomorrow. I guarantee you won't be disappointed.
You need to find out how to do this.
That is correct.
Because it's a process.
As I shared with you during the break, they're coming after your land and they're coming after my land. And they're going to do every means of which that they can under this Agenda 21 program.
Yeah.
And the only standing that you have is that land patent, because it cannot be collaterally attacked, and they cannot impair the obligation of contract. As long as we have a constitution, now we have constitutional protective covenants of that land.
Does it drive you crazy when you see city governments owning property and buying up property with our tax dollars and doing mixed lease uses and all of these things? Because it just seems like the advent of so many things to take property, disrupt property.
You know, you bring up, Kate, a very, very important thing. I want to digress a moment. Getting over to Mike's issue that in 1970,
mining rights.
And his mining issue, the government has no authority to lock these lands up under common law. They're doing it under administrative statutes and codes, okay?
Okay.
Because you and I, the people, didn't vote on to do that. It's our land. Every land law ever made is under a public land law designation. Go look it up. People, if they don't have to believe me. But his property is protected because it's a property grant under the mining law. And they, if it were lawful, but it means that they did what they did, they can surround his property, but they cannot impair the obligation of that contract for him to continue his mining. And I'll tell you why that is. Because the mining law, 1866, which is the vein and load law, and then the 1870 is a placer, and 1872 is any and all valuable minerals, is connected to national security. Title 30, it's Section 1801 and 1803. That means that the government understood, this was implemented after the Civil War, that both sides, the North and the South, was deficient of hardware and guns and canteens and cups and forks and knives and spoons and on it goes. So the government said, we're going to protect that. Producers, whether it be mining, logging, agricultural, you know, or whatever, are to be protected. And they're not being protected today. You heard a miner, you heard everybody.
Yeah.
There's a film that was put out some years ago by the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. It was called Out of the Rock. Incredible. And it was a mining promotional video. But they asked the profound questions. And I want to share this real quickly, if I may. A woman is in her home, and the question is asked, and it was this: what would her life be like without mining? And all of a sudden, the camera went to the clock on the wall, and the clock disappears. It went to the toaster. The toaster disappears.
Oh, I just got chills.
The refrigerator. And you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
And
everything starts disappearing.
Everything disappeared.
Source.
And if it would have gone to the total extreme to that, she would have been standing there with no clothes on and no house, no windows, no foundation, nothing.
That's a great point.
Because it takes mine products to cut a tree down, you know, and all of these things. You heard a miner, you heard everybody. You heard a farmer, you heard everybody.
That's
you
true.
Heard
any industry. I mean, you're hurting everything.
That's why the producers were to be protected, and they're not being protected. And so to take that down to the personal level of your land, that's why this land patent stuff is so important.
And is it difficult to do?
No, it's not. In fact, it's very simple. It takes a little bit of research because you have to, the Hooper versus Scheimer case, the United States Supreme Court spelled out what you needed to do this. That's what I teach.
So this is free and clear apart from the mortgage. Is this after the mortgage is paid or after the property's paid?
No. The mortgage has no bearing on it at all.
Okay. Because that's a contract in which you've already said, I'm going to pay this, and that's a done thing.
Well, that's a whole different subject, but let me say very quickly, the bank never loaned anybody any money, but
yes.
I'll leave it at that. I want to read something.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't leave it at that. Darn it. Okay. now I got to get you back on this show, but you'll cover some of this tomorrow.
I will.
At 8 a.m. Okay.
I want to read something very quickly.
Okay.
A state citizen is immune from any and all government attacks and procedures absent a contract. Dred Scott versus Stanford case. What's unique about that, without a contract, you're not obligated for any of this garbage from the government. And they try to portray that there is an adhesion contract. An adhesion contract has no standing in law. They use it a lot in administrative statutes and codes.
Okay.
But it has no place in law. If you haven't willingly and knowingly and understand what you're signing, then it's fraud. And if it's fraud, negates any and all contracts.
Wow.
So that's just the tip of the iceberg.
And these things are winnable in court. They
Absolutely.
Are, if you know what you're doing, if you are instructed and can understand.
And you know what I found about judges?
What's that?
When you go into court and you know what you're talking about and you address that with conviction, you get the favor of the judge. A lot of them want to see this, but nobody. And a judge can only rule on what's presented in his case in most situations.
Yeah.
So if you bring an improper pleading, an improper court, then
it won't help you.
You shot yourself in the foot.
This is what changed the Bundy case. Ryan went in, discussed all of these things, and that judge was bought and sold. But that judge had to take in what he was saying.
That's
what
my
he was
point.
Saying
was all That's my point.
Correct on the Constitution.
And it's amazing what happens when you come forward mm-hmm. knowing what the law is. And I'm going to digress just a moment,
sure.
getting back to the mining law issue. We've had very similar issues with the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service in Oregon. And I'm the chairman of the largest mining district in the United States. So I get involved in all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
Politically as well as legal stuff, etc. And we have challenged the BLM and the Forest Service, the EPA, the DEQ, and several other government entities. If they disagree with our interpretation of law, L-A-W, mm-hmm. then bring it to the table and we'll sit down with them. In 11 years, nobody from any of the government agencies has come and say, Ron, I want to challenge what you're presenting
wow.
in law.
Wow.
Now,
Are you serious?
No, I'm honest to God. I've got probably five of the best researchers that there is anywhere. These guys don't miss nothing.
Wow.
And we do a tremendous amount of research. We sued the state of Oregon, the Jefferson Mining District, in 2013 for implementing legislation that was an infringement upon the granted right of the mineral estate. And in doing that, we went to three attorneys. And they said, you can't win that case. There's no way you can win that case. The whole state legislator.
Yeah, you got everybody.
Everybody was, and they passed it anyway. We gave them warnings, don't do it. We sued them, and we won by default. We sued the Oregon Bar Association. We sued the governor. We sued the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and the people who were head of each one of those,
wow.
et cetera. None of them. Because the way we structured the suit was the very fact that we exposed the criminality. And if they would have proved or responded, then we would open it up to getting depositions from them. And that's why, as a result of that, from a reporter from the Oregonian, who then investigated by virtue of our case, the governor, and he had to resign, Governor Kitzhofer in Oregon.
Oh, that's my how gosh. Kate, that's how Kate Brown got on there.
That's the power.
The evil Kate Brown.
That's the power mm-hmm. of the law. And we did wow. nothing but address the law, L-A-W.
Oh, my God.
Not
gosh.
Statutes and codes
right,
and all
right,
of this.
Right, but yeah. the law.
The law.
And the Hammond case. Oh, I guess we could probably
Isn't
go a whole
that amazing?
Hour. Oh, the Hammond
but
case is
He's
sad.
Such a resource.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's here because I love the people of Southern Utah. And it's time that people take a position and learn, you know the law and be well advised mm-hmm. to use the law.
Right.
And not just be bowled over. And not just be a bunch of sheep.
Yep. And like you said earlier, the government wants your property. Look what they're doing in that mm-hmm. contract to the Conservation Act. They're saying, hey, you can't pay your taxes in Missouri and Ohio. Can't pay your taxes. Hand it over to the Conservation Act of 2016. And they're saying that it's granted to the United States and its successor in the contract. Who's the successor of the United States? It's just very interesting what they're doing. And does your book cover all of this, too? Does your book cover all that we've been talking about? We have about 30 seconds left.
Yes, pretty much so.
Okay. Wow. Ron Gibson, we're lucky to have you here.
When they come tomorrow, and hopefully that you will, with the patent class, you'll get a patent book that I wrote several mm-hmm. years ago. It's 179 pages, and I cover all kinds of stuff. But the very instructions how to bring your land patent forward, jurisdictional okay. challenges.
How to get yourself secure
exactly.
in your property.
That's correct.
Because we're going to need it. This is going to yep. get worse and worse and worse. The government wants your property, and it's systematically going after it is the message. And you better be prepared.
That's
because
correct.
We're all going to be affected. And I don't think we realize that. Rural America, yeah, you're affected right now. We're all going to be affected in this, and many have been. I so thank you. I could do another 2 hours with you, Ron. I learned so much from you today. And Mike as well. Mike Eager, thank you. And Ron Gibson, he'll be here tomorrow, 8 a.m. He's in our areas from Oregon, 8 a.m., Corporate Alliance Building on South Dixie Drive. Bright and early, 8 a.m., learn how to be secure in your property. You are going to need to know this information. Ron has been so successful in helping people with this information. Mike Eager, thank you. And wow. Well, we'll have Michael McKeeb on next, so stay with us. Jeez, I've learned so much. Right back here on the Kate Daly Show, on to the national show.